Chip Roconcho with Anna DeVlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence, a holiday week filled with fun, frivolity, and surprises.
A lot of surprises. In fact, I was surprised when my phone started blowing up to say, did you see Rocon on John Oliver? I said, no, I did not.
I was surprised when my phone started blowing up for that this morning. I woke up this morning and there was like this raft of texts about it. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. Now, as for those of you who have been listening to the program throughout the afternoon, listening to the station throughout the afternoon, you hear that Violetta Podomatic is, we started a GoFundMe page for her medical care. And she's near death. And I'm not sure she's going to be able to get through this. I've been telling her that she lost her voice late last week.
Yeah, it was like, what was it, Thursday or Wednesday, Violetta? Or does she have any voice at all today?
I have a little voice. Thursday.
Thursday, because we were at the Hawks game Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday night.
Wednesday. Your day leaked into Thursday morning, though, Violetta.
Yeah, right. That's how that works.
When it's 6 a.m., which day does it count for when you get back
home? I was at the Hawks game last night, and I was back in the secret room, as you described it. And there was, all the people in the secret room was that girl talking about us? What was that? I mean, it was like a whole thing. It's like a secret club inside that
place.
Did
they miss me?
No, there was a lot of questions about you.
They miss me.
I said she was never quite the same after she left this. And it's interesting because there are a few of them, including major management of the team, who are sick now.
Oh, no.
Also sick.
Do they have a sore throat?
They have
similar symptoms.
Similar symptoms. So
oh my gosh.
You are like patient zero.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, maybe take a day, Violetta.
You should have taken a day off. And then she can't find her voice. And I said, well, you do that like Flonase, I think is particularly good for this.
Mm-hmm. You recommended that.
I do recommend that. You got to take that.
And I asked, so I still take it through my nose, right?
Yeah. All right. Anyway, the point is that yes, you should do it through your nose, and then it drips down in back. That's how that works.
Sounds terrible, but you say it works.
It's very effective. I don't think you're doing it because it's not working.
I am doing it.
But can you do it and try to get over a bad whatever it is, cold or whatever she has, and still go out and party and have a good time and
never shut up? That's the most important part. Because she will not shut up. That is the biggest. That's the biggest impediment to her getting better.
Your voice had a good run, Violetta.
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing about this is if you don't take 24 hours off, which you should probably do, you will. You're going to sound like Brenda Vaccaro on the other side of this.
Didn't she just have 48 hours off?
Yeah. Did you go out?
What,
or did you rest
happened?
The rest
she just
of
had
voice?
2 days off.
Yeah, I just had 2 days off. I
did. You kept talking though, didn't you?
Well,
you just wouldn't shut up, would you?
Did you sleep?
I had to go to a wedding on Saturday.
Oh.
Mm. What did you do at the wedding? What do you mean do a wedding?
No. I just had to attend it. But there was an Elvis impersonator and live music at this wedding, so it was a little bit loud in the room. But I tried
an Elvis impersonator at someone's wedding?
Yeah. Wow.
Just, you can imagine. please. This is, I mean,
was it Bronco?
Was it Bronco? That was my thought.
I do dye his hair for him, pretty much Elvis black, but no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. That's something we probably didn't want to know.
Yeah, I know. I just had a visual right now. I'm sorry.
And all of our listeners.
So sorry. Sorry to everyone that we had to do it. And our viewers on CLTV, because if they, you know, it's television, they'd have to show that.
Oh, no.
And then there would have to be a moment where they, you know, there's Violetta and there's Bronco with a plastic thing over his head and a
jewel bag.
Yeah, jewel bag.
Like the black stuff on his eyebrows, you know.
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to look at his neck and his forehead.
I put Nivea along his hairline.
Oh, that's
He's
good.
He's always like, get the Nivea.
Isn't it Nivea?
It's Nivea.
It's Nivea.
Anyway, yeah, I guess in Serbo-Croatian, it's Nivea or Romanian or whatever the hell you people speak. Hey, all right. So what I think we should do here is in order to economize for her is I think we should go back to doing the traffic for her.
Yes, and this is fun.
Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Let's go back.
Will Cheesy
that.
Radio Guy be doing one of the hits? Because
we'll have a couple of the different characters, regulars on the show, do the traffic.
Good, I like that.
So we'll do that. And so so that was the crazy thing that happened this morning. I wake up. I was, we're watching the Bears game. OB is going to be here at 4:40 to talk about it. I watched the Bears game twice, as a matter of fact. Or Cornette watched it again.
Because you were watching it like a social environment.
Yeah.
You didn't really catch all the detail.
Correct.
Yeah.
At a bar. At the bar. You can't hear what the announcers are saying. And I want to hear them frothing all over the Bears. And they did, which I thought was great.
It was very cool to hear, especially at the end there where they put some high praise.
NFL, the Bears are for real, is what they said.
The real deal.
This was a statement game. And even though they, OB will be here, we'll talk a little bit about things that still, may separate them from, you know, advancing in the playoffs. But I think it's a playoff destined team. They're playing better every week, and it's great. But so we're, you know, watching all that. I wake up this morning, and my phone, at 6:30 this morning, my phone is blowing up. That was a little, that's a time hack drop right there, just to pretend I get up at 6:30 in the morning to get up and actually start doing things. That's really just to get up and pee. Anyway, so I get up at 6:30, I look at my phone, and the next thing I know, it's like, people are sending me clips of me on John Oliver talking about A Star Is Born.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute, are you sure you didn't, you know, friends of mine first saw it, and I said, are you sure you mean Roper? Because he reviewed that for us, and that would make sense. Like,
No.
It was Roe. It was Roe. Like, well, why was Roe reviewing the movie Stars Born? Like, well, it wasn't really a review. It was part of a montage of different personalities from across the country.
Yes, here it is.
This is actually our last show of the season. For our main story, we thought we'd pull back a little bit and look at one of the biggest questions that has defined this year. How good was A Star Is Born?
I did see A Star Is Born over the weekend.
Yes, a great movie.
And it was amazing?
It was amazing.
It's still on my heart. Like, yeah. That is the thing.
It lingers. It really does.
Bradley Cooper had a hold of my soul there for a little while.
It's, it is beyond great. Maybe.
And it was a look on your face that it was beyond great, because you look like you were
I think you cried
movie.
A little bit.
The movie was coming through your head as you were talking about it, and that you're about to cry.
Absolutely true.
I think you had a tear in your eye.
There's no question. And I'm manly enough to admit that. And then they had the center for the Dallas Cowboys was the next guy talking about how great it was.
Very manly. Manly to manly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the thing was that they ran the CLTV version of that.
Right.
Right? They ran the CLTV. They somehow got the clip from CLTV, which, by the way, congratulations to CLTV. That's as good as that gets right there. But I don't...
And you had no idea.
I had no idea. And I don't think CLTV had any idea.
Right.
Because we can't get clips from CLTV. We ask of our own show. If we go, hey, you know what we need? We need a thing for that. We don't record it. It's sort of like, what?
Yeah,
what do you mean you don't
record
it?
How do they find it?
I have no...
Well, they have those media services.
Yeah, that had to
when
be
you
it.
Need to get it.
There are skimmer services that record everything that goes on. And they... And, you know, they... You could pay and you could get stuff.
And that was just compelling on your end.
Yeah, they weren't passing up that little piece of video when they saw it.
Well, the video is great because I'm leaning back and I cannot find the words of the greatness of Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. I just can't.
You're all verklempt.
I am. It's kind of a moment.
I want to know what the John Oliver staff is doing right now after seeing that. They're like, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Who is that?
See, that's the whole
Oprah
point.
Oprah hates him.
That's the whole point. Too soon. But that's the whole point of this, because it's like guys, and I'm, you know, burly with a beard, and all of a sudden, and I'm like about to cry over Bradley Cooper. Didn't make a ton of sense. So
no, and you had that kind of expression about you had your hand kind of move in this like emotive way, and you were just like, oh.
I'm so sensitive.
A great look on your face.
You were almost speechless.
I was speechless. I couldn't come up with the words to describe how much I love A Star Is Born. And I'm just very glad that on John Oliver's season finale of this year, I was able to, you know, that my own emotionality came through, and that it was so important that John Oliver had to put me on with you know, Good Morning Omaha and whatever the hell else, what other hack TV shows there were.
It was Good Morning Arizona or something like that. But the point of it was that he loved the movie so much, wasn't it? That John Oliver's like, I just have this undying affection for Bradley Cooper and the movie, and it's just so good. And look at all these other people who feel the same way.
Well, actually, what it was is he wanted to
making fun of it.
He was teeing it up. I know.
He was teeing up talking about authoritarianism.
That's right.
Which is what
which worked very well.
Right. You want to go, hey, we're going to talk about A Star Is Born. And everybody go, yay!
Oh,
and then I was like,
yeah,
no, we're going to talk about authorities. Mm-hmm. Authoritarianism. All right. We'll check in. Speaking of authoritarians, Ben Bradley is going to join us coming up here in just a moment. He runs that newsroom he's like the Stalin of news. Mm-hmm. We'll get to him in just a moment. But first, let's find out from Judy what's happening in the newsroom. Ben Bradley in the WGN television newsroom.
Newsplex.
Yes.
Is that what you call it?
No, but some bad station in Miami, I think, referred to their newsroom as a newsplex in the 80s, and it stuck.
took on SVN, right?
Yeah, I think it was SVN. Yeah.
Right, that was a newsplex.
That was one of the stations.
Like catwalks and things where reporters walked around while they talked about the story.
In tight dresses.
Lucite desks.
Right, running to running across the screen during live shots for no apparent reason.
You should do that. I'd like to see Lourdes do that. Have Lourdes just run behind you back and forth.
Yes.
I think that's a way to really promote this show on the CLTV.
Yes.
Hey, CLTV got a huge plug on John Oliver last night.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Along with Ro Khan.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's a humble
video.
Brag, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used of me almost crying about A Star Is Born.
Very emotional moment. But he wasn't alone. There were other people all across the country who were very impressed with Star Is Born.
Yes, and they are all from really small, insignificant markets. Television hacks, Sunrise, Sunshine
morning,
this
Provo.
Morning. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's always nice when your kind of one of your oddest moments goes viral across the country, right?
Yeah, it's always great. Yeah. I look forward to that every 10 years when it happens. and then black SUVs don't show up at my house. That's my favorite part when that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of things that we do need to discuss here. Mm-hmm. I guess the White House is releasing new rules here. I'm just getting them in now. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Yeah, I just looked over those. So, Ro, you get one question for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a follow-up, you may or may not be able to ask it, depending on whether or not I grant permission. And if I choose to not allow your follow-up and find it offensive, then I can throw you out.
What?
Is that it?
Are you serious?
Well, I may have added the offensive part. But, yeah, they're essentially saying from now on, to keep your hard pass, there will be some rules, hard pass to get into the White House, and that is you can ask one question at a press conference or at a White House press briefing. You may or may not be allowed to ask a follow-up question. That's at the discretion of the person conducting the press conference. But if they move on, you got to sit down. There's no, there's no engagement.
Right.
Unless they choose to allow engagement.
And you have to physically surrender the microphone.
Correct.
That's another rule.
So the idea now is this, that those people who are in power that we pay to be there with American tax dollars will answer only the questions they wish to answer.
Well, they already had a little bit of latitude there, right? Because they pick and choose who they call on.
That's true.
And oftentimes, that follow-up question is, sir or ma'am, in the case of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you didn't address my question.
All right. Right. Or, can you answer the question, please?
That's right.
Right. So they're certainly trying to button things up at the White House, all in the name of decorum is the word that the president...
Oh, the president.
Yes.
Showed a lot of decorum when he went after a Navy SEAL, right, today.
Yeah.
Said that he should have gotten bin Laden sooner.
And when he used the swear word addressing a member of Congress.
Yes, Adam Schiff. The congressman, Adam Schiff, I wish I had more time to talk to you about this, Ben, but I'm just going to say it. He tweeted today, and you replaced the S-C-H-I-F-F, which is how Schiff spells his name, with a T-T.
Oh, is that not how you spell it?
That is not how you spell it.
You know what?
Double F.
He's going to tweet soon. Autocorrect, my bad.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think he'll delete that one either.
He didn't change it. So there you go. There's your decorum.
So that's out there.
All right, so that just happened.
Hey, coming up on the news this evening, we've got this fascinating story from Simeon High School, where supporters of the football team are now suing the IHSA. They say in their quarterfinal game against Nazareth Academy, one of the Nazareth dads, who's an IHSA football ref, actually stood on the sidelines. Though he wasn't working the game, he was in his full referee uniform, and he was conferring with the officials throughout the whole game, and in fact, according to this lawsuit, influenced the outcome of the game. And then this dad/ref went on Facebook, and in an interaction, the lawsuit says, he said, "I made sure the best team won."
Oh my gosh.
All right.
As usual, the IHSA is not commenting.
Right. They wouldn't comment on anything.
No.
Right?
The IHSA is, you get as many comments on them as you do with the CIA. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just try to, it's like Putin runs the IHSA. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks,
All right,
Ben.
We'll see you on the WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
We'll be following that story at what's happening at Mercy Hospital. Judy was just reporting about reports of shots fired at Mercy.
And it does appear we've got crews on the way to that scene. It's at 26th and Michigan Avenue,
mm-hmm.
Mercy Hospital. And Mercy Hospital does take a lot of gunshot victims and other stabbing wounds, things from the near south side and mm-hmm. south side, things that come up the lakefront, essentially. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you've been injured at anywhere in, you know, from near south side down to Hyde Park, down to South Shore, and they want to come up Lakeshore Drive to take you somewhere, it's really the... now that University of Chicago's opened up, that might be a little bit closer, but sometimes it's just faster to get to Mercy.
Right. And at first it sounded like the shots could be in the vicinity, but they have been, a number of news organizations, including our own, has found that they were actually inside Mercy Hospital. The shots were fired.
Right. So we are we're going to be on the scene there.
Yeah.
And it's
major law enforcement response, as you could imagine, has sealed off that area.
And WGN-TV is... reporting that there are multiple victims.
Right.
Our sister news organization here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be watching that. Our own reporters are on their way to the scene. Channel 9's reporters are on their way to the scene. We have a helicopter shot. Channel 9 does have the helicopter over the scene. You can see the streets, heavy, as one would imagine, heavy police activity there. And a bunch of closures, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Violetta?
Yes, there's a bunch of closures in the area. King Drive and Michigan are both blocked between 31st and 25th. 26th Street also blocked between Michigan and King. A lot of police presence. You want to avoid that area.
Right. And it does appear... Now, this is the question. There's multiple injuries. We do not know if it was inside. We've not been able to lock down yet. Sounds like the initial reports, which can often be wrong,
mm-hmm.
are that it was inside the hospital. And the question is, was it in a room? Was it in the emergency room? Was it in a lobby? Where did this happen?
Right.
Well, interestingly, the initial reports were actually in the area. Now the more current reports are that it's in the hospital. And now we're getting even pictures of that people are sending where it looks like there's no one in the hospital and police officers with guns drawn. So, and some people are texting that they have been told to hide. So it's... a little bit unclear still, but it seems like it's likely inside.
And seems like a very tense situation out there if you've got that.
It's unfolding right as we're talking.
Unfolding.
Yeah.
Do you see any signs of evacuations? People running
out? We know it's a full diversion, so no, obviously no one's going there. They're taking no patients there. Right. We're seeing shots outside the hospital. It looks like people are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they were already outside, it's unclear.
And we're seeing some motor vehicle activity. We're looking at the 26th Street entrance right now mm-hmm. of the hospital. And
now we're getting from the Chicago Scanner, an unknown condition on the shooter was shot in the head by responding units. So it could be over.
All right.
Very fluid situation.
Right. That's putting it mildly.
Mm-hmm. But there definitely is a heavy police presence there. You can see them as we're looking at the video right outside the front doors up and down the streets around Mercy Hospital.
A little bit more information. It may have started as an argument between the offender and a woman in the parking lot. He shot her and threatened to kill himself. Then he ran into the hospital.
Mm. And do we know if anybody was shot in the hospital?
Possibly. Okay. I did see one report of possibly an officer down. This is nothing's confirmed. So
all right.
We just don't know yet.
Okay. All right. Let's just hold off. Let's just hold off on all of that until we get more. All right. Judy continues to follow that in the newsroom. Again, an active shooter investigation at Mercy Hospital. We're at least getting scanner traffic that says that the shooter has been subdued. But until we get confirmation from the police or the hospital, let's just go with avoid the area at the moment. We'll get you all the details as they come available to us. Let's go back to what we were planning on doing here, and then we'll just break in as soon as we have anything that people need to know about that is happening there at Mercy Hospital in the near south side of Chicago. A.B. Stoddard joins us for Hilarious Monday. And I don't even know. After the weekend, I'm not even sure what I... how I feel anymore about this. I used to sort of be entertained by the politics of it, and it would be kind of exciting, and you know all of your emotions are in play. You're either scared or you're mad or you're excited or you're happy or you know. And now I've gone to bewildered and a little bit shocked that it's sort of like a one man virtuoso performance here of the president.
The Chris Wallace interview was just really one for the ages. The just the way he doubles down what he said, obviously, about Admiral McRaven, what he insists about, you know, the Mueller report and it's all over now because I figured out these, I wrote the answers to these easy questions, and it was the Trumpiest Trump ever, there's reporting out of the White House now that he thinks that bipartisanship is like a new cool idea, and that he's telling advisors he's going to work with the Democrats and come up with something to sort of get, I guess, a more solid political footing. And it's going to be just really interesting to see what happens in a couple weeks when they actually have to go to a deadline for Department of Homeland Security funding, which is due December 7th. He's really teased out how great a shutdown would be. I mean, as usual, we don't know what it's going to be from hour to hour, but he seems in a very different special stratosphere right now. The fact that he wanted to talk to Chris Wallace, who has a reputation of being a tough interviewer, and it was so surreal. The whole thing about raking the forest floors, it was just the most, it was just spectacular this weekend. It reached new levels, and it makes for an especially mind-numbing Monday. I agree.
I don't know what to make of it when he's going after a guy who was one of the commanders of special forces for the United States. He was a highly decorated Navy SEAL, put his own life in danger, his own body in danger. It's a definition of a true American hero. And for him, and the guy was critical of the president's tone. That was it. He was critical of the president's tone. Said that it's his tone that he thinks could be destructive to this democracy. He's not alone in that belief. A lot of people believe that. I believe that. There are millions of Americans who believe that. And it's not like he's questioning his election. He's not questioning his authority. He's saying his tone is bad. And for the president then to go after him and say, well, he's a Hillary guy. He loves Hillary. And then this guy had to come out and say, no, I don't love it. I never supported Hillary. I've never publicly supported any politician. I worked with Obama and I worked with Bush. I respect them both. I respect the office of the president. I respect anybody who respects the office of the presidency. So, I mean, and that's what Navy SEAL had to say. And then Trump says he should have caught bin Laden sooner.
And then the RNC puts out a tweet trying to back up President Trump because he loves backup, and you have to prove your loyalty to him no matter how zany what he just said was or how untrue it was or how really unpatriotic it was. I mean, to talk this way about someone like McRaven is just beyond staggering. And the RNC wants to be seen as backing him up. So they put out whatever it is, at GOP, the party put out a tweet saying that he was some kind of short list for Hillary, so that means that he's a bad person or something.
Yeah. AB, did you hear also the part about Bob Mueller that he's going to be, he answered the questions himself. He didn't mention any attorneys help him, and that he's going to be submitting them very soon. There are reports today that before Thanksgiving, even, it seems Bob Mueller could get those, but he won't be sitting down as imagined for the one-on-one interview. And I guess, you know, how did it trick you that he was sort of trying to just say that, look, I'm doing this myself. This is going to be the end. You know, he seemed like he's trying to telegraph to Bob Mueller, you're done. You know, this is over. And I'm doing the most I'm going to do. And that'll be that.
Right. Well, It's very Donald Trump to just sort of describe things the way that you want them to be. And, you know, I want to have great climate or whatever he was saying over the weekend. I mean, he tosses a lot of statements out about how special and wonderful things are going to be, and how great they're going to work out. So the idea, his team has been forecasting for a really long time. I don't know if you remember over the summer, because there was going to be a 2-month pause where, following, you know, historical practice of the department, the investigation was going to go into a cooling, inactive, passive, stage. And so everyone assumed it was between September 1 and November 6. And so Rudy Giuliani and people around the president were starting to say, well, I mean, you better issue a report by September 1, as if he sort of making up a fake deadline that's never existed for Mueller. Mm-hmm. And again, trying to blow smoke around in their fake narrative about Mueller to the Trump supporters or whoever's listening, that if Mueller doesn't do it exactly as they say it's, you know, they're saying, like this fake deadline, it's not real and it's not legit. So President Trump is thinking that it's over now, because after, I think it's almost a year of Mueller asking for some kind of cooperation from Trump.
Right.
He's finally giving it. And Lord knows what those answers say.
They asked him in January.
And if there will spark some kind of follow-up requests and some clarification.
Right. Right.
But it's very Trump to say, oh, and so it's great. It's just a wrap-up.
Yeah.
I've finally done it. It was a joke. And let's, you know, call it a day. And that's what he'll do, no matter what Mueller comes back with. You know, if it's clear from the acting attorney general, Whitaker, that he has told people around him, at least the reporting has made clear that Whitaker has told people around him that he would reject the idea of subpoenaing the president. So I don't know where this is going. It's certainly not over with. I think that even the nation's seventh graders might conclude that Roger Stone is getting squeezed by Mueller through the people around him, and we're not there yet. So I don't know that the entire investigation is close to coming to a close.
Hey, let me just ask you very quickly, and because we're going to get back to our breaking news story here as we're trying to get details out of this shooting investigation at Mercy Hospital here in Chicago on the near south side, where we're being told there are multiple gunshot victims, maybe one in the parking lot and one inside the hospital, and that the one inside the hospital may be the shooter. So we're trying to get clarification on that. But very quickly, the White House has dropped their fight to pull Jim Acosta's press credentials, but they have released new rules for reporters. And these rules are that a journalist is only allowed to ask a single question and then will yield the floor to other journalists at the discretion of the president or other White House officials. They may ask a follow-up question. But it is not, but they must yield the floor before being allowed to ask a follow-up question. This is a break from traditional protocol there.
You know, I really don't know if it's up to the White House to make the rules of those briefings. I imagine it's up to them, and you're going to get one question, and that's all you're going to get. It's an interesting. I think that they've had it out for Jim Acosta, you know, from day one for certain reasons. Why did he call on Jim Acosta though that day? Is another interesting question. So, I think that he likes the president likes this kind of back and forth with the press and being at war with the press. So even though he's making new rules, even if they're followed, I imagine, in pressers to come, whether it's with Sarah Huckabee Sanders or the president, that we're likely to see more tussles just simply because it's something that the president likes to employ to change the topic and sort of continue a war in the media.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, AB.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'm so sorry about the breaking news. I pray for everybody there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. A.B. Stoddard. You can read her on Real Clear Politics. All right, let's check right now from Judy in the newsroom. What is the latest on that? Tom Skilling is joining us now, as he does every afternoon at this time, brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems. And Tom, obviously, very tragic day here in Chicago, no matter how you want to look at it. Mercy Hospital, a number of people shot at Mercy Hospital today. It appears to have been an argument that started in a parking lot, worked its way into the hospital. One of those critically injured, we now know, is a Chicago police officer. And that officer is being transported from Mercy to the University of Chicago hospitals, which have now just recently regained their status as a level one trauma center that takes gunshot and blunt force trauma and those kinds of really, really, really complicated medical cases.
Right.
So that's what we have now.
And I've seen you the helicopter you've had up at Channel 9 over there, looking at the ambulance as escorted by under heavy police escort as that officer, believed to be in critical condition, makes his way to seek treatment, and hopefully they can work on him and the results are what we all would hope for. But a very sad moment when you see an officer like this get critically injured.
Sure is.
The course of doing his job.
You know, I don't you get tired of all this? It's just these shootings are just terrible. And when it involves one of our police officers, too, that's really sad.
Yes.
Thanksgiving week on top of it. You know, I just... can you imagine how this affects the family?
Right. We've got something else from the Tribune here saying a hospital employee said she was in her office there at Mercy Hospital when a notice came over the PA system telling everyone inside the hospital lock their doors. I guess that was when there was an active shooter believed to be on the premises there, and that they were later evacuated by CTA bus. All of them filed out when they could deem that it was as safe as it could be, got out on buses, and then at 27th and King Drive, relatives are being asked to show up there if you'd like to meet a family member.
Is there any indication who the shooter was or what his relationship was to the hospital?
It only seems that Roe has said that there was some sort of confrontation in the parking lot
before. That's initial reports. I mean, we're going off of what we're just hearing in our newsroom here.
And we got carried its way into the hospital?
We're going to, I think, it sort of as a rule of thumb here, we're just going to follow our reporting and WGN-TV's reporting here until we can get, any other. It's the circumstances here. Always in an active situation like this, we've all been around this a long time.
Sure.
Initial reports are often wrong. They are often misleading. The one thing that we do know for sure now is that at least one police officer has been critically wounded in this shooting at Mercy Hospital and is being transported to University of Chicago Hospital for treatment of that wound.
Right.
And that's the one thing we know for certain.
Well, according to police, we also know at least one possible offender has been shot. The police are confirming that. The actual police spokesperson, as they say, they're doing methodical search. The SWAT teams, TAC teams, and a multitude of officers at Mercy are going through, combing through every corner of that hospital to make sure there is not a second shooter or anything else that would cause harm.
When this happens, it brings into mind, because there's such a an immediate response of police and federal law enforcement, fire department resources, and media response to these stories. And for good reason, because when a police officer is shot, a police officer represents us. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like the whole of Chicago being shot when you shoot a police officer, because they are the ones who are there to protect all of us. And in this particular case, it does appear that this officer was responding to this shooter at this moment in a hospital.
Wow.
And that's the guardian. Those are the people who stand watch for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people say, well, what's the difference if it's a police officer or a civilian? That's the difference between a police officer and a civilian. What it is that they are representing you right now.
Boy, don't we depend on them, too. The minute you see in a neighborhood that's undergone trauma and all, you see the squad cars there, you feel safer. Because they put themselves out there for all of us, and it's just kind of frightening to know that this goes on, and that there's no respect for a police officer. My gosh, what could possibly drive somebody to shoot another human being? I don't get it. Outside of a war environment, it's crazy, and even there, it's kind of nuts that we shoot each other.
Right,
And yet there are times you just have no alternative in those war situations. But here in the city, this gets old.
You do have the Chicago Police Department SWAT units, I'm being told, are clearing the hospital. There's 12 floors at Mercy that they have to go through and they have to clear to make sure there are no other shooters. Because when you hear multiple gunshots, you're just not sure what's going on there and how that came to be, even though this appeared to start as an incident in the parking lot. And again, these are eyewitness reports. We have we'll play a little bit of that for you. I'm also being told here by one of our sources that, to as a reminder, the last three active shooter circumstances have all resulted in the death of, well, we don't know about death here, but in, but of officers being shot.
Wow.
Right? You had the one in California.
Yeah.
And then the synagogue before that.
Yep.
And so you do have, and these are the, you know, these are the people who are going, you know, straight in to handle this. And we know that we have at least one critically injured Chicago police officer on their way to treatment at University of Chicago Hospital as a result of the shooting at Mercy.
You know, isn't it nuts? You know, a shooting in a hospital where there ought to be treatment, and yet, you know, you've got to transport the shooting victim to another hospital because the hospital's under siege. It's it's crazy.
You think about it.
I understand the mayor. Did you report that he's at the police headquarters at all? So this must be very, very serious for that to be happening.
I would imagine that would be the case.
Right. Yeah. Multiple people shot, including a police officer in critical condition.
Any idea how many others have been shot? Is there any word on that?
I think that's the open question. We're waiting for confirmation on. I know police have confirmed that an offender, a gunman, has been shot. But in terms of how many others potentially, I hadn't. Unless Judy has more up to date information on that, it seems as if we were holding off to get that confirmed.
We were hearing three people, so it would be the police officer, possibly the woman shot in the parking lot, and the offender. But that's not been confirmed. All we know for sure is the Chicago police officer.
Wow! So there was a woman shot in the parking lot, Judy?
Because we had heard this early on that perhaps the shooter shot that woman first in the parking lot, then went into the hospital, engaged possibly an officer in the lobby. Shot him before he was able also to shoot the offender. We have no conditions on anyone except perhaps the police officer in critical, but now at the University of Chicago Trauma Center.
This is a witness who was standing outside the hospital at the time they were doing a site survey for some construction work.
As it's going on, they called the 10-1, which is officer down, and then we were right there. We heard it, and we're still trying to get out of it. Then all the cops show up, and then what they said, you know, the man, white hoodie, came out, assault rifle, and just started shooting at the police. And then he went back inside, and I guess they shot him on the first floor in the radiology department. That's where they had him in custody, and that was it. And as far as the officer down, they were looking for him, but he didn't respond on his radio. So then his partner found his phone on his radio. So his partner found him or something.
Okay. Wow. So the guy had a rifle, huh? Is that
according
what he
to
said?
That
yeah,
witness.
According to that witness, right. Yeah. And I'm not sure that the that might be more of an earball as opposed to an eyeball witness.
Gotcha.
There, and he was listening to police radio traffic, standing with the police and listening to the traffic and listening to them interpret the traffic for him. It appears to be the case. Very early, and we just want to give you a little bit of a sense of the scene here. And you know, we'll wait for official confirmation from police as to the one thing we know for sure. We've been confirmed by the police that there is one police officer on his way to, or on their way. We don't know if that's male or female. On their way to University of Chicago Hospital for treatment of a gunshot wound. And I believe now we're also looking at another ambulance being loaded at Mercy. This is our helicopter shot. This is our WGN helicopter shot that I see there. I cannot tell if someone's actually on the gurney, though.
Well, King Drive is still blocked in both directions, headed southbound towards the University of Chicago, so that is going to be an option to transport possibly more victims if needed.
Well, and also more people out of the hospital. That may be another issue that they have here. They have lines and lines and lines of ambulances waiting now near the hospital. There may be people who have nothing to do with the shooting here, which at least these reports that we're hearing at the moment, it was a fairly limited engagement of this gunman and victims. But they're clearing the there's people actually leaving Mercy now with their hands up. And this is a standard protocol to get these are employees, these are people This is with, this is an active shooter situation. They try to get everybody out. They try to get them in small groups. They want them to keep their hands where everybody can see them, just to make sure that there isn't a shooter that's trying to get out.
Sure.
If you knew that school shooting from earlier in the summer,
Parkland.
From Parkland.
Yeah, you remember he escaped and ended up at the fast food restaurant because he went out exactly that way, along with others who were potential victims or innocents in that school. And that's why the police will have you hold your hands up, because to limit the risk of there being any violence outside as you're evacuating. But they do have the CTA buses outside Mercy Hospital, and a lot of those people are being fielded into those buses, and so that they can go to safety from there. But you imagine if that's a lot of the hospital employees, that what impact does that have on patients? How many have to stay back anyway because of the critical care needs of some of those patients who are currently there?
Right. And that's, I mean, this is the horror of having this kind of incident occur in a hospital, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine being a patient on top of everything else, wondering and unable to move, you know? With tubes coming out of it.
And that's one of the reasons that you have so many ambulances that are... There. And I see there's two SWAT units that are... And a Special Communications Task Force, five ambulances now at Mercy, where they may be loading people in that they're going to be taking out. There doesn't seem to be a lot of traffic there, but you do see the full weight of the police emergency response personnel on the scene here at Mercy. And about this incident is a little over an hour old now.
Right.
And so I think the first calls were at 3:15.
That's what we heard. Yeah, right after 3 o'clock is when the calls came in, and we started to receive news that there was this incident happening there at Mercy Hospital. You're right also, Tom, the mayor and police superintendent Eddie Johnson are at police headquarters monitoring the events, as this is very much an unfolding situation at Mercy Hospital.
So for the... for the mayor to have moved over to police headquarters, unless he was already in the area for another reason, is pretty remarkable.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, it certainly speaks to how serious this may be, or at least it's feared it is.
Right.
So,
All right. What we'll do here is we'll break down for just a moment here as we take a short time out and try to get more of our resources. I believe our reporters are just about to be on the scene there. We'll be able to go to them as well here. So, Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate
you and Anna, you take care, and we're interested to hear what you have to say and report.
Another tragic day in Chicago.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Thank you very much.
See you
appreciate
guys.
It, Tom. All right, Tom Skilling. You can see him on the WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. Pro-Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we're continuing to monitor the situation. An active shooter at Mercy Hospital. We are being told, and again, the circumstance of the shooter seems to be known at this moment. Police are confirming that the shooter was shot and killed at the scene. There's a police officer who was also shot at the scene, who has been transported to University of Chicago Hospital from Mercy Hospital. And we do not know the condition, initially reported to us as in critical condition, but we do not know the condition or the circumstance surrounding that police officer at the moment.
No, just that he's been admitted to the trauma room and presumably undergoing some type of surgery or care, and that officers have, there's a heavy police presence outside that hospital at the U of C. In addition, Superintendent Eddie Johnson has now arrived at that hospital as they're awaiting word on this officer.
The other thing that we do know is that is still going on at Mercy, and you're starting to see some police vehicles now peel out of Mercy and move their way toward other destinations. But the one thing that we do know that has been going on is that SWAT officers and especially trained police officers have been going through Mercy Hospital, where there was this active shooter, making sure there is no other shooter in the building.
Right.
And a hospital is a very complicated scene in which to do that, obviously, because you've got people who cannot be moved in many cases.
And cannot hide if they needed to, or move at all if they wanted to get away from what they perceived to be a threat inside that hospital. So you can only imagine the nurses, the aides, the kinds of people that work in hospital, the most giving, altruistic, helpful types of people who were probably trying to shield patients and make sure they were protected. There was something that went out over the PA system. We're hearing several reports now from witnesses, people who were inside that hospital, that said shelter in place, lock your doors. And then at some point, presumably after this gunman was shot and eventually killed, they were evacuated at some point along that timeline onto CTA buses. And the ones who could leave were shepherded out of that hospital. But do you think, with so many patients inside that would need some kind of, it will need a lot of care, that they can't transport everyone, and that officer staff, like the hospital staff, would need to stay back.
Dominic DiPongo is joining us right now from the scene, from Mercy Hospital. And Dominic, what are you seeing?
I'm right here at 26th in Michigan, and you can tell that this is definitely still a very active shooter situation. Like, I walked up 25th in Michigan and was about to take a right to get down to 26th, and the officer stops me and said, "Hey, listen, for your own safety, I know you see your other police news vans parked here. I need you to go all the way around the block and come around the other side." And he wasn't able to tell me any details so far, aside from the fact of what we already know, that at least one of the suspects, has already been shot and killed, but we don't know if there are any others. And it looks like roads are blocked off within a 3 to 4 block radius of the hospital.
Right.
Ben Bradley at WGN-TV is now reporting 4 people shot in total at Mercy Hospital this afternoon, including the gunman who is dead. We've been reporting that Chicago police officer who was transported, as we said, he's now receiving treatment at UFC. That officer is about 28 years old, is what
they're
reporting. Wow.
Ana, you made a good point moments ago. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump you there, but you made a good point moments ago about how difficult it is when you have people who are already ill and probably immobile in these hospitals, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. Talked to a family walking down Michigan, pushing an elderly man in a wheelchair. There was an older woman pushing them, and I said, what happened? She said, well, at about 3:30, they were told that there was an active shooter situation. They had to get down on the floor in the hospital, and then when they were finally released to go, they had to grab the wheelchair, get this patient out of there, but they parked on King Drive, which is blocked off. So right now they're just walking up Michigan trying to figure out where to go and what to do and what's the best way to move, especially in the cold with this disabled person that they're with as well. So it really is a dire situation for some people.
Let's go back through that number of people, though. So you have the one police officer that we know of in critical condition has been transported to University of Chicago.
Right.
We have the shooter, and then who are the two others?
Two others that I don't believe they have, that I've seen, any confirmed information about who those two other people are, other than WGN-TV is reporting that 4 people are shot and 2 are dead, including the suspected shooter. So 2 people dead, 4 shot, and the shooter is among the dead. The officer is reportedly in critical at the hospital, so that still leaves several people unaccounted for. We don't know those other victims' situations, their names, or anything other than that at this point that's confirmed.
There have been conflicting reports, too, about the gunman and whether the gunman had a handgun or a long gun.
Mm-hmm.
So we're awaiting that. That can tell you a little bit about whether this was a planned event or some other sort of domestic or other, a temporary about moment that just happened as a result of some other either provocation or confrontation.
There is a witness who has given several interviews to the television stations explaining who was at the scene, saw a man shooting a woman in the parking lot prior to this event, then entered the hospital. So he says they appeared to know each other. I don't know at that point. This point, that is just coming from a witness who is giving a lot of interviews at this time, but that is not something police are certainly confirming and wouldn't confirm until they've done much more investigative work.
All right. And as you can see, Domity, as you're on the scene, police are still on the scene. You're not seeing police or ambulances moving away from the scene at this moment.
No, they're not moving away at all. They're, I mean, they're blocked. You've got officers in the middle of the street at the four quadrants of corner and intersections, making sure that people don't get too close to the scene. They're still closely watching all of us in media just to make sure that we're safe. They've been beyond polite, but you can tell that the scene and the situation is very tense. And I haven't seen this many police officers, ambulances, and fire officials at a scene. I haven't seen this ever, you know, in my short career. This is massive right now. Yeah. It's still an active situation. No one's moving. No one's letting up. And even though we have heard the reports that the suspected shooter is dead, they're trying to figure out whether or not more people are involved in this situation and what exactly is going on and whether this is coordinated and what's happening.
Domity, do you still see people leaving the hospital, being evacuated, or any of those CTA buses on the scene transporting people or ambulances transporting people out of that hospital?
I see several people walking away from the direction of the hospital, but I'm unable to tell whether they were inside or whether they were just in the area or headed to visit someone. Even as I was on the phone on hold, I was walking toward the woman said, "Don't go that way, don't go that way. There was a shooting. I can't go to Mercy." You know, she told me to turn around the other way. I let her know who I was, and she didn't want to talk on the mic. A few other people I walked past didn't want to speak, but there are several people walking away from the hospital, but I'm going to see,
let me interrupt you here for just a second.
Yeah.
Mercy Hospital has now tweeted out that there was a shooting that took place. Shooting is over, and police department has secured the hospital, and all patients are safe.
Good.
So we now,
that's great news.
From Mercy Hospital, we are being told that the scene has been secured. Domity, we'll come right back to you. Hold on 1 second for us. Continue to get as much information as you possibly can. And speaking of the Blackhawks, we promise this is a tough time to be able to do this, but we must do this.
We're gonna give,
yes, that's actually the law. You have to do that. So we've got a pair of Blackhawks tickets as they take on Las Vegas next Tuesday, November 27th, a week from Tuesday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. And listen for your chance. For tickets all regular season long. It's color number 19 at 312-981-7200. Winning a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks game next week.
Yeah.
Against Las Vegas. All right. We continue to follow the situation, news operations, basically, of this. It started today around 3:15. There was a shooting at Mercy Hospital. We now know four people have been shot at Mercy Hospital at 26th and Michigan Avenue. The shooter has been shot and was killed. There is another person who's not been identified who was also killed in this incident.
Right.
And one other person seriously injured, and then a Chicago police officer critically injured in this, what appears to have been an exchange of gunfire with the gunman. That police officer has been transported to the University of Chicago Hospital in Hyde Park to be treated. Obviously, what was going on at Mercy kept that emergency room from being able to take in that level of an injury,
because it is a level one trauma center there, so technically they do treat gunshot wounds and gunshot victims. But when you have a situation where it's not under control and there's still a threat of active violence, they certainly couldn't take that chance until the SWAT team and other officers cleared that hospital
to make sure there were no other conspirators or no other gunmen in the hospital at the time, because multiple shots fired right. in the lobby and emergency department. Radiology department. There appears to be one shooting in the. We're told initial reports indicate that there was a shooting in the parking lot, and then scanner traffic indicates that there was shooting in the radiology department at Mercy as well.
Right.
So we are continuing to watch this situation as it develops here, and we'll bring you all the information that is possible to bring you.
Right, as it's confirmed, of course.
Police superintendent is moving over to, he was at police headquarters monitoring the situation with the mayor. The police superintendent has moved over to University of Chicago Hospital to be with fellow officers and the family of the shot officer, who is, again, at last reports in critical condition there at University of Chicago Hospital. So we're waiting more information on that.
Right. If there were people inside the hospital at the time who said there was a message over the PA system letting them know to take shelter in place, lock your doors. And those people have many, the ones who are not needed inside that hospital have been evacuated, and they're meeting their relatives a few blocks away from the hospital.
From Mercy Hospital. All right, Judy Pilek is standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. She's going to get us all caught up with everything else that's happening in the world, as well as this, in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we're continuing to watch the circumstances here. There was a an active shooter situation at Mercy Hospital here in Chicago today. Four people have been shot. We know that two are confirmed dead. A police officer was shot. He has been transported in critical condition to University of Chicago hospitals. Police Eddie Johnson, police superintendent, has arrived at University of Chicago Hospital. The shooter himself, it is believed, was shot and killed in exchange of gunfire, we believe, with police officers. And the two other individuals here are either one dead and two in critical condition.
Right. We don't know much about their identities or even the condition. Did you say critical on the other injury? Because I had not heard that, if that's what you... But there are four shot, two dead, including the gunman. The officer's in critical condition at University of Chicago Hospital at last report. And Eddie Johnson is there, as you say. He's asking other officers to join him outside that hospital if they're able to be there to show support for this officer who is fighting for his life at this hour.
And we are being told also, for what it is worth here, to marshal our resources to that scene. Back at the hospital right now, as we are watching what's happening and listening to the to police communications, a number of employees of the hospital are actually being moved out. They've been going floor by floor through the hospital looking for, potentially another shooter. And they have to secure that in all of these kinds of situations because all the initial reports were that there was somebody shot in the parking lot and then a bunch of activity inside and shots being fired inside the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it is known but cannot be known yet is that there's no other shooter inside the hospital. So they're going room by room, floor by floor, and working their way through. Apparently there's 12 stories to 12 floors mm-hmm. to this hospital, and they've been going down through those floors and making sure that they've cleared all of the rooms, hospital rooms and also break rooms, nursing stations, operating rooms, any place somebody could hide.
You can only imagine what it would be like to be inside that hospital at a time when an active shooter is there, and this announcement comes over the PA system telling people to shelter in place, to lock their doors. You can imagine all of the nurses and other staff there who would try to protect their patients who couldn't move or couldn't get anywhere, and the how frightening it must have been to be inside that hospital. Police were able to get there very quickly and go after this gunman who is dead now at this hour, but they were able to secure that scene, and now we're hearing that they have cleared the hospital and there are no known threats within the hospital at this time. A lot of emphasis now to the injured officer, who's in critical condition at last report at UFC Hospital, and we do see here of a heavy police presence coming to that hospital and already in place
right
around the hospital.
And with the superintendent in place at the moment, we are anticipating that there may be a briefing from the Chicago Police Department coming within the next 15 to 20 minutes.
Should have something. We are reporting, WGN on TV News is reporting that the officer who was transported is about 28 years old and is a male officer, and that's all that we really know at this time about his situation.
And media has been told to gather and stage at 57th and Maryland, so that is near the 55th and Cottage Grove, where the University of Chicago Hospital is. So in that area, that is where it's most concentrated, 57th and Maryland.
So traffic in terms of, they're blocked off streets around.
Surrounding areas,
University of Chicago Hospital as well here. So that's an important thing to note here. If you are traveling throughout the Chicago area, obviously the site at Mercy, which is just across the Lakeshore Drive I-55 extension right there, as I-55 meets Lakeshore Drive. On the north side is McCormick Place, and then on the south side of that is Mercy Hospital. And for many people drive by there, don't even realize that's what that is. It's just a big industrial-looking building, but that is Mercy Hospital. And that's where at the street level on King Drive and in Prairie, on 25th Street, 26th Street, those streets are all blocked off there. Michigan Avenue blocked off.
Yes.
So that's...
And so is the 31st Street exit off of the Stevenson Extension there.
Right. So that's so the people who are trying to get out of downtown right now, that is the if you're taking Lakeshore Drive to the Stevenson, Lakeshore Drive is moving fairly well, at least through downtown, but then there is and they're trying to move people off onto the Stevenson. Right, Stevenson is open there.
It is open completely, but obviously you can see from the highway all of the police presence, all of the flashing lights, and now that it's gotten darker out, it is causing a gaper's delay in that area right near 31st Street, which is also blocked off. So if you're planning on getting off at 31st Street, that is completely blocked off with police activity.
All right. We continue to monitor the situation here, and we are anticipating that there will be an announcement forthcoming here from the Chicago Police Department. So we will wait on that. And our own Domenico Pongo is on his way now to University of Chicago Hospital, so that when Eddie Johnson goes to the microphone, we have full coverage of that, and we anticipate that that is within the hour.
One of the questions I'm sure the reporters will be looking to get answered is that witness report that said they saw at the scene, he was there, and he saw a man open fire on a woman in the parking lot. He said it just came out of nowhere, and he saw this man unload several shots at a woman. Didn't hear any kind of altercation or fight prior to it, just that happened, and he saw it, and that's what he's reporting to police to see if they have any more information about who that woman could be or the circumstances surrounding that.
One nurse who was outside Mercy Hospital at the time explains what she saw.
All of a sudden, I heard 5 to 6 gunshots. Me and my girlfriend, we ducked behind the car. Then we suddenly saw a maroon Charger sped off and jumped the curve and made a right out of the parking lot. Then suddenly, the police pulled in and they exchanged fire to the police, which caused the police to have to back up and retreat. Then the detectives pulled up, they jumped out, all guns was drawn. Then you heard some more gunshots. So I ran back into the building and say, they shooting outside. Next thing you know, we get Cole Silver called over the intercom. That means lock yourself where you are. So we locked ourselves in the utility room, and then we heard Code Blue twice. Code Blue was announced twice, 5 minutes apart, which means somebody done died or two people done died. Then we heard Cole Silver for the family center, which is that door right there. So they had to run in and retreat. How you know it was two shooters? Because it was an exchange. It was like pow, 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 pow.
Okay. She may be describing, obviously, the shooters, meaning...
the officer may potentially shooting back or trying to contain the situation. That may be what she heard. But she's explaining what came over that PA system, the code silver and then the code blue, defining that there was a threat and that somebody had died.
And she's describing that all of the shooting activity happened in the parking lot.
That's what she's saying.
What you're hearing her describe. We have had reports that it entered into the hospital. But again, all of this until we hear officially from the Chicago Police Department is speculation.
Right.
In terms of trying to piece together what the witnesses are telling us at the moment, we know what we can report, which is that there are two dead in this incident, this active shooter situation at Mercy Hospital, 26th in Michigan and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Among the two dead, one is the gunman, the initial perpetrator here. There are two others now listed in critical condition, or at least currently listed in critical condition, including one Chicago police officer who has been transported to the University of Chicago hospitals. And we will take you there coming up in just a few minutes to find out what is happening. But all right, we are continuing to monitor the situation that's happening now at two locations, at Mercy Hospital, where there was an active shooter situation today. Four people were shot, two dead, including the gunman. There is a Chicago police officer in critical condition that has been taken to University of Chicago hospitals, and another individual who's also reported in critical condition. That person, whereabouts unknown. I don't know if that person is still at Northwestern or still at Mercy.
We have not heard. We heard that this began around just after 3 o'clock, where a witness, an eyewitness, saw a man shoot at a woman in the parking lot of Mercy Hospital there, right on the campus at 2525 South Michigan. Appeared to be getting out of her car, and he, according to this witness at least, fired at her multiple times. And then from that point, there was the alert, as you heard, the code silver that went over the PA system inside the hospital telling people to shut their doors, shelter in place. Then it was confirmed that somebody had died, and then another person had died. The among the dead is the gunman and another person who we don't know the identity of, police officer transported, as you said, Roe, critical condition to University of Chicago.
That's where our own Doma Tipongo is, at the University of Chicago hospitals. And they've marshaled all of the media into one area there on 57th Street. What can you tell us, Doma T?
Yeah, so right now we're at the Center for Care and Discovery right here at 5700 South Maryland. Heavy police presence here as well. You can hear them in awesome distance in the background, several ambulances. I don't know if they have anything to do with this situation, but this is the busiest I've seen this area, about three ambulances with their sirens blaring, taking folks to the University of Chicago Hospital here, the center here. So in just a moment, we should hear from police officials. A lot of media stays here at the Center for Care and Discovery. Mm-hmm.
And are you hearing from other media there that a message from the Chicago Police Department is imminent?
Yes. And Anthony Guglielmi, I think about 30 to 40 minutes ago, tweeted out that this is where they'll be debriefing us. But as far as everything that's out there, it's what's already been published over at WGN-TV, our friends over there, and what Judy's been reporting just now. And as you said moments ago, we won't know much until we get the official word from police officials or Eddie Johnson and other officials who are slated to talk to us here from the hospital as to how this officer is doing. What is remarkable, though, right across the street from where media is staged inside, it's a gaggle of about, I'd say, 20 police officers just standing around and securing this area as well. So This area looks similarly secure to Mercy Hospital. They're putting just as much emphasis on securing this area as they did over where the shooting actually happened.
And this is a tense moment for the men and women of the Chicago Police Department, as one of their own has been shot. There are initial reports that this is a 28-year-old officer who may have just recently come on the job. And again, the Chicago Police has not confirmed that, but multiple sources are telling us that. Mm-hmm. So there is a obviously the people are kind of scanning through, and parents in the Chicago area who have their sons or daughters, this we happen to know is a male officer, but happen to have children who are on the job, or people who've got relatives around the job. You know, this is a moment where the entire police family sort of girds himself for the worst. And just waiting to hear now the condition of this officer who was shot in this incident at Mercy Hospital, who was transported to University of Chicago Hospitals, where you are, Dimity, and we expect that we're going to be getting information coming from the police and maybe even the mayor. Do we know if the mayor is there?
That I do not know. In a moment, actually, I'll jump off with you right here, Ro, and gather some more information to you and shoot it over to you guys in the studio.
Go ahead.
I see some people bustling. I think something may be happening soon.
All right. Go right over there, and we'll get
good
right
idea.
Back to you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Dimity. Dimity Pongo on the scene for WGN Radio at University of Chicago Hospitals. Pro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We are monitoring situation happening now at the University of Chicago hospitals, where the police officer who was shot at Mercy Hospital in a gun battle today was taken. Media has been asked to go to the University of Chicago hospitals, awaiting a news conference forthcoming from the city of Chicago, from the from at least the police department superintendent Eddie Johnson.
Right.
The mayor has also been informed. It does appear this incident. We have some of the 911 audio, or I'm sorry, some of the
scanner traffic
from the initial incident, which happened early in the 3 o'clock hour here in Chicago at Mercy Hospital, which is on the near south side, just off of Lakeshore Drive, between 25th and 26th Street, and. It appears that the shooting started in a parking lot between a man shooting at a woman in the parking lot. There are now reports that this was a domestic situation, and then police intervened, and then shots were exchanged between police and the shooter in this case. The shooter, we do know from the Chicago Police Department, is dead. Here is some of the initial scanner traffic.
Squad, we need more cars. We have to get inside this hospital, squad.
Available units to Mercy Hospital. We have a shooter inside the hospital.
More shots fired, squad.
We have more shots fired outside the hospital. Be aware he has a weapon. We have shots fired at officers on the Michigan side.
I have another shot inside the lobby. I'm making entry.
All right, we have another person shot inside the lobby.
I just came in. We have a woman shot.
Right, we need officers in the lobby. We have a female shot in the lobby. All right, we have an officer shot inside the lobby.
Chilling to listen to that.
Well,
we're also hearing that the witness who saw the woman who was shot in the parking lot, she was dressed in scrubs, and there are some reports out there that she was reporting for duty at the hospital when she was shot by this gunman who's now dead. It appears that he must have entered the lobby after shooting her.
And a little bit more information on that we're also hearing she may have been a doctor reporting for her shift, and that was perhaps her former fiance. So going back to what Rose said, a domestic, which it appeared to be from the onset.
Right. Very sad situation. So that officer, we're still waiting to hear word. The latest, there is a news conference scheduled to happen there at University of Chicago Med Center. Any moment now, we'll receive a little more news potentially about the scene, the details, and that officer's condition, which we're all waiting to hear more about.
We're getting some indications that an announcement from the city is imminent here in terms of what is going on. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a very anxious time for the families of Chicago police officers, because if Chicago police officers not contacted their family, you do obviously have one officer critically, at least in last report, critically injured, transported to University of Chicago Hospital. And the resources that are being marshaled to the University of Chicago Hospital are pretty ominous.
Right. It is. The word we're hearing so far is that, you know, they need a lot of police presence there, a lot of prayers, and the superintendent is there, too, just hoping for the best for this officer. Injured at that scene at Mercy Hospital appears coming to that scene to try to help others. Again, we have two dead, four shot. At least one other among the two dead, one person, and then the gunman, and the other person. We're still waiting to hear more about what their identity is.
Here is some audio taken about an hour ago from a nurse who witnessed all of this, who was also reporting for work.
All of a sudden, I heard 5 to 6 gunshots. Me and my girlfriend, we ducked behind the car. Then we suddenly saw a maroon Charger sped off and jumped the curb and made a right out of the parking lot. Then suddenly the police pulled in and they exchanged fire to the police, which caused the police to have to back up and retreat. Then the detectives pulled up, they jumped out, all guns was drawn. Then you heard some more gunshots. So I ran back into the building and say, they shooting outside. Next thing you know, we get Cole Silver called over the intercom. That means lock yourself where you are. So we locked ourselves in the utility room, and then we heard Cole Blue twice. Cole Blue was announced twice, 5 minutes apart, which means somebody done died or two people done died. Then we heard Cole Silver for the family center, which is that door right there. So they had to run in and retreat. How you know it was two shooters? Because it was an exchange. It was like pow, 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 pow.
Wow. Wow. Just imagine in this, again, you know, if this does, and we'll await final confirmation from the police department in terms of what their initial investigation says about the identities of the shooter and the woman who was shot in the parking lot, to make sure that that is, that that ends up being the case. But on the assumption that this is a domestic that is now spilling over, this, you know, goes more to this this moment of spasmodic moment of violence where people are, and you, as you've seen now in the last three active shooter incidents and mass shooting incidents, and this does not qualify as a mass shooting incident.
Why is that?
Because it, mass shooting is five or more. Which is pretty crazy, right? But in the last three major, and this I would think would count as a major active shooter incident, the one in California from 2 weeks ago, the the one, and then the prior to that at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, and then today here at Mercy Hospital in Chicago, police officers have been shot in all of those incidents. And you think about the men and women who put on that uniform and go out every day and you know, take this on, and they run toward the gunfire. And it was just a little over a week ago that we honored, for the Chicago Police Memorial, we honored the family of Commander Bauer, who was killed on the 13th of February this year.
Right. Again, just trying to get a bad guy who was running through the loop with a gun into the Thompson Center,
right,
State of Illinois building.
And
lost his life.
He lost his life. And we honored his life and his wife and his daughter, his young daughter, his 13-year-old daughter, right across the street from Mercy Hospital, where this incident has taken place. And, you know, we talk a lot about the violence of this city, and we sometimes, our eyes glaze over with the gang-on-gang violence, and we stop and we think, well, you know, that's a, it's a whole other world, and there's not much we can do about it. But what is known by the men and women of the police department is that at any moment they could be caught in that. When there's people shooting people, it doesn't really matter if they're former fiancés or their rival gang members or whatever it is. When bullets are flying, people are going to get hurt, whether it's an intended victim or not. And that is not to be callous about intended victims here. That is to take them into our thoughts and our prayers as well. But in a moment like that, when police have to rush into that situation, that gun is often turned. And that appears to be what happened here.
That is appearing to be what happened here. The police scanner traffic that we heard of, we just heard a portion of there, talked about that there appears to be a man threatening his ex-girlfriend with a gun in the parking lot, that was the first call. And that's when officers were dispatched to the scene. This officer may have been one of them, because then the next reports were that this gunman is shooting at the police as they arrived at that scene, tried to respond to assist the people at that scene. Then it moved inside Mercy Hospital, and you then heard the other scanner traffic we just heard of the lobby. Female shot in the lobby, officer shot. And again, we know four have been shot, two are dead, and we're awaiting word on the latest condition with a lot of hope and prayer for the officer who we believe is new on the job, maybe 28 years old, and we're waiting to hear more about his situation.
All right, we're continuing to monitor this situation. The news has now, news crews, obviously, are in two places here at Mercy Hospital, where there was this incident earlier today, an active shooter at Mercy Hospital. It appears, and again, we're piecing together these various different reports, but as best we have been able to glean at the moment, it appears that this may have started as a domestic violence incident where a former fiancé, a man, started shooting at a woman in the parking lot of Mercy Hospital, was engaged by police, went into the lobby of Mercy Hospital where there was more gunfire, and a police officer was critically wounded in that exchange of gunfire. The gunman himself was killed in an exchange of gunfire. We do know four people total shot. The gunman and another unidentified person are dead. The police officer currently listed as critical condition at the University of Chicago Hospital. But at the University of Chicago Hospital, we have been told, media has been told, to amass for a statement from the police superintendent. Alderman Matt O'Shea is with us. And he is, obviously, your office has been monitoring this throughout the afternoon, too. I know you're doing other things. And obviously, this is a moment where the city of Chicago just has to stand together.
Absolutely. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out, praying for the safety of all involved here. And, you know, once again, we see something catastrophic like this in our city.
It's, we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, just over a week ago, we were involved in an event that in which we were honoring the life and the sacrifice of Commander Paul Bauer, who died on the 13th of February this year as a Chicago police commander chasing down an armed gunman in a downtown, right there at the Thompson Center, chased him into a stairwell. They tumbled down a stairwell, and Commander Bauer was shot multiple times and killed on the scene there. And, you know, this is a very anxious time. I know, and you represent the southwest side of the city of Chicago. You've got a lot of police families in your aldermanic ward. And this is a very tense time as people wait to find out who this is, whether it is a relative or somebody that they know.
You know, once again, it's a policeman that rushes into danger, which is what the Chicago Police Department does each and every day on the job. You know, I don't even know what else to say. It's just, it's sad that we continue to see these type of shooting incidents.
Right. And this, again, appears to be an officer who was trying to run into danger and try to help when there were shots fired in the parking lot when it was initially came over the radio as a an incident with ex-girlfriend being shot or potentially threatened by a man with a gun at that point initially when it came across in the parking lot, moved into the lobby. Apparently now we're hearing he tried to get into the pharmacy and was arguing there. They shuttered their windows, but that's where we also heard those reports of shots fired in the lobby.
Here is the initial scanner calls on the Chicago Police Department radio.
Squad, we're needing more cars. We have to get inside this hospital, squad.
Any available units to Mercy Hospital. All available units to Mercy Hospital. We have a shooter inside the hospital.
More shots fired, squad. More shots fired.
More shots fired. We have more shots fired outside the hospital. Be aware he has a weapon. We have shots fired at officers on the Michigan side.
I have another one shot inside the lobby. I'm making entry.
All right, we have another person shot inside the lobby. Once
I just came in, we have a woman shot.
All right, we need officers in the lobby. We have a female shot in the lobby.
It's when you hear that,
and you
think that just 3 hours ago, this incident hadn't happened yet, and now you have at least two people dead.
Two others in very critical condition,
right? And as you know, as we can note here, that the thing that we learned from that audio is you hear that outside in the parking lot, you heard that there was. That there had been one woman down in the parking lot, and then inside the hospital, another woman down.
Right.
And then, you know, seconds later, the shots of a police officer down.
Right. Also reports that as the police responded to that scene, they were shot at by the gunman.
And he was moving toward the pharmacy, and here's a pharmacy tech who just told this to our sister station WGN-TV.
The shooting happened right outside the pharmacy, in the lobby, right where our patients were waiting to get prescriptions.
So there were actually shots fired inside?
In the hospital, yes. Shots were actually fired inside the hospital, yes.
So you said you heard three shots initially?
I heard three shots, and I heard four more shots. Yes, we heard a lot of shots inside the pharmacy. While we were in the pharmacy, inside the hospital, yes.
All right. We're going to take a quick time out here, and then we'll come back. Alderman Matt O'Shea is with us. We also are, Tommy Tupango is at University of Chicago Hospital, where we are awaiting information imminently here from the Chicago Police Department on the status of the police officer who was shot and then transported to University of Chicago Hospital from Mercy Hospital. I know this is a little confusing, but in the in the incredible chaos of the moment, and then to secure Mercy Hospital, they had to move the critically injured away from Mercy Hospital. Seems counterintuitive, but that's exactly what they had to do. And so we are awaiting Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent, to come out and tell us what the latest information is, and we'll be right back with that information as soon as it becomes available. And Judy's other news coming your way in 2 minutes.
I heard three gunshots. The first thing that comes to your head is it really happening to you? Especially when I was taking a train class a month ago. So you really, you know what to do, but at the same time, you're still in shock as, is it really happening to you?
Covering a story started about 3 o'clock this afternoon at Mercy Hospital, 26th and Michigan here in Chicago, essentially, just south of McCormick Place. And it appears that there was a domestic incident in a parking lot. A male gunned down a woman in the parking lot. We're being told that those were former fiancés, that the gunman then entered the lobby at Mercy Hospital. And these are initial reports. Gunned down another woman inside the hospital and then exchanged fire with responding police officers, shooting one police officer and resulting in a critical injury. That police officer has been taken to the University of Chicago Hospital for treatment. We are awaiting word from the police superintendent, and a bevy of other officers are there. Family members and other city officials have all gathered at the University of Chicago Hospital as we're trying to get information. We're awaiting a statement, at least. Let's put it that way. We're not really trying to do anything at the moment, because we're leaving it up to the city to let us know exactly what the status of that police officer is. But obviously, given the marshaling of equipment and personnel, police personnel, and the fact that we are now a couple of hours into this situation with the police officer being at the University of Chicago Hospital and no word coming out yet, that's pretty ominous.
It is. It is. And it makes you want to say a prayer for him and his family right now as we await that eventual word. I suspect we should hear pretty shortly an update on the situation with that officer.
Domo Tupango is at the hospital right now, awaiting word. What do you know at the moment?
So far, we know that Eddie Johnson is in the building and that he is prepared to speak to the press, speak to media. And Mayor Emanuel may speak to media. Everyone I'm speaking to doesn't know for sure 100% if Mayor Emanuel will address us, but there is a good chance that he is around and that he will talk to us.
What are you seeing outside there, Domiti, as you, I know you've been there for just a little while now. What do you notice there outside the hospital where the officer is?
You see a lot of police officers outside pacing back and forth. And this is, it's interesting to see them worried about two things. One, securing the area here and making sure that people are safe at the hospital, that just confirming that this was a domestic situation and that this was an isolated incident. So, of course, there's a heightened security risk. But then also you have officers who are making sure that their colleague is safe and are waiting word on their colleague. And we're hearing murmurings about what his condition may be. I can't report on that yet. We want to wait for official word from the police department. But you can of a professionalism, that energy, but emotional energy as well, as they're waiting to hear about how one of their own is doing.
Yeah. Stay right there, Domiti, and we'll go to you as soon as we hear that Superintendent Eddie Johnson is going to come out and make a statement. We'll get back to you in just a few minutes. Right now, WGN law enforcement analyst John O'Malley, formerly with the Marshal's Office here in the Northern District of Illinois. And John, obviously, this is a very, very tense moment for law enforcement families throughout the area.
Yes. You know, unfortunately, once again, we've got an incident where an officer, first responder, was, you know, responding to a shots fired call and came into the situation as they're trained to do and tried to take action, and unfortunately was shot. You know, as you mentioned before, this is, that I can recall, the third instance, the synagogue out east and then the nightclub in California, and now this instance where, because of the protocol of the officers just going in, no matter if they're by themselves or with one other officer or 10, it doesn't matter. They're going to go try to address the active shooter. So, unfortunately, that's what we see today.
What we're hearing from the witnesses and some confirmed reports as well is that this did appear to start or begin as a domestic situation with a woman who was reporting to work at that hospital, either a doctor or a nurse. She was in scrubs, and that her ex-fiance coming and ordering her to get on the ground in that parking lot and then shooting her multiple times, according to witnesses. The initial calls did come to the police to respond to this domestic, you know, situation between the ex-fiancés. And I know that the domestic situations can be one of the most harrowing and dangerous for cops.
Absolutely.
Responding, yeah, as this was.
Right. And again, you know, classic example of someone bringing a situation, you know, that started as domestic violence. We don't know if there was domestic violence, but obviously, if that turns out to be the case after they do an investigation, that it bled into the workplace. Because often, you know, maybe he was trying to locate her. He didn't know where she was living or whatever, but he knew one thing, as that was she reported to work, you know, in this case at Mercy Hospital, and probably knew her work schedule and maybe was lying in wait for her to appear at work. And, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation. When someone has a plan, it's really hard to mitigate that risk that, you know, he had it in his mind to come to, in this case, Mercy Hospital and carry out you know, a shooting, and how do you protect? You can't put up barriers in parking lots of every institution. So, just a very, very, very terrible situation.
And that's the really scary part of domestics, which is now, you know, a domestic in a situation like this, in a very public situation, and with police very, very much on alert.
Absolutely,
these kinds of things are going to turn into gun battles. Please do not. This is no longer, you know, this kind of Columbine rules apply across police work, across law enforcement, that they're not going to sit and wait and try to defuse a shooter. They're going to go in and try to deconflict, or there's a lot of terminology that's
de-escalate.
Used here.
Mm-hmm.
Not de-escalate. They're going to neutralize the shooter.
Yeah, they're going to eliminate that threat. And unfortunately, in these domestic situations, you know, again, we're not going to know because it sounds like the offender is deceased, but he obviously had it in his mind to severely injure or kill her. And then he, you know, a lot of times these guys know there's going to be a law enforcement response. And I hate, you know, you've heard before, you know, suicide by cop, which I cannot personally stand that phrase, that terminology. Because, you know, whatever the situation is, these officers are responding, and often they have very limited information, right, Rowanetta? All they know is that what's coming over that zone radio, I heard earlier you played some of that zone traffic,
right.
Where there's active shooting, and, you know, these guys are, and you hear, you know, the shots are being fired, and from sources I know that one of the police cars might have been that responding vehicle. It could have been the beat car of this officer who was shot. That the vehicle was riddled with bullets. So I don't know, you know, what was in this guy's mind, obviously, but he, you know, maybe he had a pact to kill her and then commit suicide. Who knows? But these officers, as you've been reporting, are in harm's way constantly. And if it happens an hour from now or 2 weeks from now, they're going to do the same thing. That's their job, is to go and try to eliminate the threat that's on hand, no matter where it is and no matter how severe the threat is.
That does line up with the other reports we're hearing, that after he shot the woman on the ground in the parking lot, he then shot at the responding police officers as they drove up to the scene, then went into the lobby and continued shooting there, which is where we heard that scanner traffic about the lobby, the woman down, and the officer shot as well.
It also appears that there were a number of police officers that had made it into the lobby that were engaging the gunman who had apparently had shot this woman upon entering the lobby and then moved toward the pharmacy, which is apparently just off the lobby at Mercy Hospital, and trying to get in, and they were able to pull down the shutters of that. And there was a everyone was told to shelter in place in the hospital. Sure. And then as the gunman turned back, he was engaged by a number of police officers. And there's some pretty interesting details that I believe are going to be shared with us, probably not with this initial announcement from Eddie Johnson that is forthcoming, but in the subsequent hours or days, about how much engagement there was with this with this shooter by police, because it appears that there was a significant number of shots fired. Now, what we do not know, and this is kind of an interesting thing, you know, as law enforcement and Reconstructionists and people who look at these and try to figure out ways to prevent or to at least, you know, stop these things faster, are going to be looking at here is the type of weaponry that this this guy had. And there do appear to be multiple shots fired. So you have to kind of crawl into the mindset of, and in these cases, a madman who is, you know, going and trying to, and you know, we don't know yet. We don't have the identities yet, but trying to gun down his ex-fiancee. And then went in, fired multiple more shots, and appears to have been able to reload. And we do not know at this point, still unclear if it was a handgun or a long gun.
Right.
What does that tell us, by the way, if it's the difference there?
Yeah, so, again, we'll find out some information, obviously, on this offender. And based on, you know, what you're telling me, what I've heard from a couple of my sources at the police department, is, again, was there an individual like this, just like we saw in California, is there some type of military background to carry out this mission and then exchange that type of gunfire and reload a handgun? So most handguns, if you have an extended magazine, you could have 15 rounds of handgun fire and then, you know, multiple magazines. This will all come out. But, again, just so people understand, this isn't television. There could have been, I would imagine, I should say, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that there were over 100, 150 rounds exchanged with the offender, because, again, this isn't television. And when cops are in active shooting situations, okay, especially with a target that's moving, your accuracy isn't, you know, it's not one or two shots and the cowboy falls down right on the range. This is real life. They're putting down range to eliminate that, putting, you know,
fire downrange
to try to eliminate that shooter, and trying to concentrate on where that exchange of gunfire is coming from. So you have multiple officers that could have been in that lobby exchanging fire. Right. I've been at scenes of shootings where there's been, you know, 150, 200 rounds exchanged in close quarters, because that's sometimes what it takes to eliminate the target eventually. So it's crazy. So people that were in that lobby and the noise, when gunfire is going off in a closed area, the noise is deafening.
A single gunshot, especially, you know, the service weapons tend to be 9mm, in some cases 40mm. They're very loud, very loud. They're intended to be
absolutely
loud. And to make sure that people are aware that, you know, that that's exactly what's going on. So it's loud, it's smoky, it gets hot very quickly. And, you know, you do hear in situations like this where police officers will then be told, you know, after other officers, after the threat has been eliminated and other officers are arriving, there are police officers who will step up and notify an officer that they have a bullet in their vest or in their weapon. Mm-hmm. Or in other places that they didn't, you know, the adrenaline was so high they had no idea that they had actually stopped a bullet.
Right.
Stopped a bullet or been shot.
Yeah.
Had been shot in a leg or somewhere else that they still stay in the fight and then realize later that they've been shot. And there's audio, audible and visual, you know, tunneling that goes on from the officers.
Right.
They're hearing. I've been involved in two shootings myself, and it's amazing after the fact when you are able to back and evaluate how you get tunnel vision, and your the sense of your audible just gets almost like muffled. So you can't.
Right.
The first shot is almost deafening, right?
I mean, the first shot is deafening, and people and then there is, and it's shocking, especially indoors, how much smoke can be generated that.
Yeah, and
so
it's just a natural reaction of your body from the adrenaline, as you say. Now, you know, don't forget these officers responding are already in a heightened alert state because of the information coming from the zone radio, the dispatch, telling them that there's a, you know, shooting. So right off the bat, their anxiety is at an all-time high. And you just get focused on the situation in front of you. You can't see to your left. You can't see to your right. You're focused totally on the threat that's there. And oftentimes, police officers will get involved in a shooting, and they couldn't tell you whether they fired two shots or 30 shots.
Right.
It just happens that quickly that, you know, they don't know until after it's evaluated how they reacted during the scene.
John, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
WGN guys.
Law Enforcement Thanks Analyst, time, John O'Malley.
It's good to hear from
you. All right, take care, guys.
All right, let's stop down here for just a moment. We'll check in with Judy. Judy Palak will get you up to date on this police officer who was shot in an attack at Mercy Hospital today. What appeared to be a domestic that then spilled into the lobby of Mercy Hospital, and one police officer is critically injured at the University of Chicago hospitals right now. We're awaiting a press conference from there. We'll get you all caught up on all of that right after. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
What a sad day.
Terrible day in Chicago, as there was a moment at Mercy Hospital today that is just another one of those spates of violence that, you know, the city has become internationally infamous for. This case appears to be a domestic violence case in which a man pulled a gun on a woman. We're going to play some witness audio of this, but let me just take you through the details that we know at the moment. Man confronted a woman in the parking lot of Mercy Hospital, which is about 25th Street and Michigan Avenue, the near south side of Chicago.
She was in scrubs and appeared to be reporting for her shift when he approached her.
Told her to get on the ground and then fired a number of shots at her. Police were alerted to shots fired. We're going to play some audio of that scanner traffic for you so you can get a sense of what that was. And police encountered the gunman who had then entered Mercy Hospital in the lobby. Apparently had shot a woman there in the lobby, moved toward the pharmacy, and then turned back around and confronted police officers. And there was an exchange of gunfire in which the gunman was killed. But a police officer was also injured critically. And was then taken to the University of Chicago Hospital for treatment. We're awaiting a press conference from Eddie Johnson and other police officials at that hospital. They've moved all the press essentially away from Mercy, where they're still an active crime scene, and they're trying to figure out what's going on there. There are some pictures now that are appearing on different news outlets and on social media. One of a police weapon that does have a bullet in it.
They're saying a second officer at that scene. We're just hearing now, just in the last half hour or so, that a second officer was also shot at as part of that exchange of gunfire with the gunman who ended up dead. That second officer, the bullet struck his holster, embedded itself into the gun, and he was not injured. It's exactly what we were just discussing with our police expert, John O'Malley.
So you don't even know.
You have no idea
what it is. It's a compelling picture of an automatic gun, and it's got a bullet literally right over the trigger that is embedded in the side of the gun. It just tells you about and you think about how heavy and seemingly impenetrable a gun is to be penetrated by this bullet, and you stop and you think about the damage that would actually do, you know, against human flesh. It's
startling. Had that not hit his gun, what would have happened?
Right. So here is audio of a witness who said that he saw the beginning of this incident in the parking lot.
He comes across. He apparently saw this girl. The girl was running up to the van at the same time as he was coming out of the hospital. And apparently she got on the phone. She was trying to call the police, tell the police what was going on, obviously. And she asked us not to leave her alone because he's going to kill her. All I know is that he asked for a ring, about a ring. Just give me the ring, give me the ring. And she said she didn't have it. We told her to go back into the hospital, go get security. And next thing I know, she started going back. She came from around the front of the van. And the guy comes really quickly from behind the van and then just pulls out a gun and shoots her 6 times before she even hits the ground. Mm. And we just tried to drive off. At the same time as we were leaving the parking lot, police officers were coming into the parking lot, and he started firing in our direction and at the cops. Basically, it was at the cops.
Wow. Here is the police scanner audio right after the first shots were fired.
Squad, I'm getting more cargo. We have to get inside this hospital, squad.
Any available units to Mercy Hospital. All available units to Mercy Hospital. We have a shooter inside the hospital.
More shots fired, squad. More shots fired.
More shots fired. We have more shots fired outside the hospital. Be aware he has a weapon. We have shots fired at officers on the Michigan side.
I have another one shot inside the lobby. I'm making entry.
All right, we have another person shot inside the lobby.
I just came in. We have a woman shot.
Right, we need officers in the lobby. We have a female shot in the lobby.
And that is the officer we're still awaiting to hear word from. Superintendent Eddie Johnson is at the University of Chicago Med Center and is preparing to give some sort of a statement to the media waiting outside now on that officer and potentially other circumstances surrounding this incident.
Inside the hospital, this gunman did approach the pharmacy area, and here is a pharmacy tech describing what she saw.
The shooting happened right outside the pharmacy, in the lobby, right where our patients were waiting to get prescriptions.
So there were actually shots fired inside?
In the hospital, yes. Shots were actually fired inside the hospital, yes.
So you said you heard 3 shots initially?
I heard 3 shots, and I heard 4 more shots. Yes, we heard a lot of shots inside the pharmacy. We were in the pharmacy, inside the hospital, yes.
No. Harrowing circumstances.
It really is. It just you can only imagine the fear, the horror that you would experience if you were in a hospital of all places and something like this broke out. And then those officers, even as they're responding to the scene, they're being shot at by the gunman. They go into the building right after him as he's shooting in that lobby and shot a female, then shot this officer. 2 people are in very critical condition. We already know 2 are dead, including the gunman. Just a sad situation. Really, truly.
Demi Tipongo is standing by for us at University of Chicago Hospital as we're awaiting this press conference. What is the latest we know, Demi?
So as we're awaiting the press conference, and it's a really strange situation, we're sitting here waiting for officers to come out, and we see officers bolting downstairs from the elevators and heading out the front door of University of Chicago Hospital. And 5 to 10 squad cars with the sirens on speeding down 57th Street going west. And so it seems like there's another emergency situation that has transpired. We don't really know why. So there's another heightened sense of at USC.
Let me caution for a second there. That may not be an emergency situation. That just may be a transport situation.
Very well could be.
Yeah, we don't really know for sure what this is, and snow is starting to fall out there these police, we've got eyes on the situation now, too. They're in immense amount of police vehicles as we're awaiting word. Anytime an officer is shot, there's a very large response of some on-duty and many off-duty police officers and then other responders who go from the police department, almost every member of the exempt class of police officers that you know, bosses, white shirts as they're known, tend to go to the hospital to, you know, to be there to marshal whatever support and any kind of help that they can give to the officer's family, to fellow officers. So you generally see a very large response in moments like this. And there is, I don't think we can take too much information. I speculate too much about things are moving quickly because obviously they do need to move. The family of these, of any injured officer, they want to get that family to or from the hospital as quickly as they possibly can. So
gotcha. And one thing to note though is just how important it is, even in these situations, as they're investigating what's going on at Mercy Hospital, how important it is for them to have squad units and officials here to make sure that this area is secure and that everything can be taken care of with a heightened sense of urgency as well. It's really fascinating to see that not only do you have officers who are dealing with the situation personally when you have one of your own who has been wounded, then also having to stay on guard when you're at the very hospital where you're waiting more information on what happened. So just another testament to what it is that these officers do here in the city.
Domiti, have they given you any word about what time about they might come out, or are you just sort of waiting on standby for that moment?
Just waiting on standby, and it was ironic as soon as I pulled the camera out because we had a few officials coming to test the microphone to see if Superintendent Johnson was ready to speak. That's when we saw these officers run down and head outside of the building. Now, again, the second situation, I don't know what it was, if it was an emergency, what caused these squad cars to careen down 57th here. But, again, as we were waiting, we saw the second thing happen. So right now, everything has us on high alert, just seeing if we'll hear something. So right now, just myself and the gag level reporters are just standing by waiting for more confirmation on what the early reporting that we've been talking about so far.
There is a podium that has been set up inside the lobby there, outside the emergency department, the University of Chicago Hospital. It's a separate building that was just built for this exact need. You know, the University of Chicago Hospital had for many decades not taken gunshot wounds in emergency cases, mm-hmm. Level one trauma emergency cases, and then built a brand new facility just to manage those because there really is not enough hospitals in Chicago that do handle these kinds of cases. There's Northwestern, there's County, obviously, but University of Chicago for years didn't. Thankfully, they've changed that policy and they're handling these situations. And they're a good facility, for this because they've just recently been, they've finished that emergency room and also the communication center so that these kinds of resources can be marshaled when you have so many members of the press and then, other first responders who are there to help.
Right.
So, all right. Well, stay there, Domiti. We'll get back to you in a few minutes here as it develops here. And we're going to check in now with Andrea,
mm-hmm.
Who is in the newsroom taking over for Judy and what the latest. All right. We are continuing to stand by as we await a press conference happening at the University of Chicago Hospital where a police officer who was shot earlier today in an incident at Mercy Hospital where there are already two injured now from this, four people shot total from this incident at Mercy Hospital. The only person that we know in this incident that has been confirmed to be dead is the shooter in the incident. And again, we take you back through the details of this. It started what appears to be a domestic incident. According to the witness that we just played, these are former fiancés. The woman was walking, had been in the hospital, was walking back out to the parking lot, followed by what appeared to be her former fiancé saying something about, give me the ring back, give me the ring back.
She said she didn't have it, and prior to that, she had told a person there that he's going to kill me.
Right. She had gone up to these witnesses and said, help me here because this guy's going to kill me. And they were in their car, and as she turned around a van that was parked in the parking lot at Mercy, the witnesses say that she was shot six times before she even hit the ground. She hit the ground. We do not have official confirmation that she is the other dead person in this incident, but we're away, obviously, no notification of families and stuff like that. But then this person went into the gunman went into the hospital and exchanged fire with arriving police officers outside the hospital, went into the hospital, exchanged fire with police officers in the hospital, was killed. But in that exchange of fire, a Chicago police officer was also struck and critically wounded, taken immediately from Mercy, which was a crime scene, to the University of Chicago Hospital, where he was listed in critical condition. And now we are awaiting a press conference with Eddie Johnson and Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And there are conflicting reports as this this afternoon has gone on here about the status of that police officer, but we are awaiting word, official word, from the city of Chicago and from Eddie Johnson, the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department.
Just keep him and his family in your prayers. He is among two that survived, but in very critical condition at last report. We're waiting for any updates to the two people who were shot and transported. Again, two dead. One of them, we don't know much about the identity. The other is the gunman himself, who was shot in the head, according to the latest reports as well.
So,
remember that second officer, too. Just, let's not forget about him that we've just learned was shot at, but it hit his gun and his holster and lodged into his weapon. That stopped the bullet from hitting himself. And that has been reported just not too long ago.
Yeah, we've seen pictures of that already on various news news sources here. So as we leave the air here and Andrea and Patty take over, keep in your thoughts and prayers. And I know that's become almost cliche and in some ways painful
too often,
to people.
Because there are so many of these incidents.
But the men and women and the families of Chicago police officers and law enforcement throughout the nation who endure these kinds of circumstances every single day on the job. And I can only imagine that as that officer was leaving his home this morning to go to work, and he has a family that, you know, just another day going off to work, and you worry about those people in your family when they leave. Will you ever see them again? And that is the nightmare that one Chicago family is now encountering. So our prayers are with the entire Chicago Police Department, specifically the family of that critically injured officer.